This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Kelvin Wong, Oanda Senior Market Analyst in Singapore. Good morning from London, and good afternoon to you, Kelvin.
Good afternoon over here from Asia, and good morning to you, Johnny.
Let's start with your overview of the markets where you are. Gold and oil are something that you want to talk about. The more generic markets, though, what's happening there?
Sure. So if you look at the generic kind of a risk-on, risk-off intraday performance by taking into a tea leaf of the performance of the key Asia ASEAN benchmark stock market, I would say it's rather lackluster day for today. What we have seen over here is the Hang Seng Index, which is the benchmark for the Hong Kong stock market, down by negative 1.57%. But it seems to me that it's a bit of a rotation play from Hong Kong short-term speculators shifting their focus to the mainland A-share market. So the mainland A-share markets managed to actually close slightly higher today, up 0.25%, due to the fact that we have some kind of positive news flow out from a China top policymaker over on late last Friday. So there's this particular news press conference by China PBOC, which is the China Central Bank. They did mention much more greater detail about this particular re-lending stock program scheme to actually support the China mainland A-share market. So much more details has been revealed late last Friday, which actually include the mechanics on how this re-lending scheme works. So basically, in a nutshell, this particular re-lending scheme will start off with a capital of 300 billion yuan, kind of supported by the China Central Bank, which is to actually fund share buyback of listed companies in mainland China stock market. And the amount or the quantum of interest rate or the cost of using this particular re-lending program from PBOC, it's only up to a maximum interest cost of up to 2.25%, which is much, much lower than the one-year loan prime rate, which is at 3.10% today. So net-net overall, that actually created a positive feedback loop into the China A-share market. So we see a bit of profit-taking from the Hong Kong stock market, short-term players shifting their focus to the A-shares market today.
And meanwhile, Kelvin, we've seen gold hit yet another all-time high.
Yes. Very interesting for gold price right now over here. So what you see in gold over here is that it tend to break away from this inter-market correlation or indirect inter-market correlation with the dollar. So we know that the dollar is getting rather firmer in the last 3 weeks or so. But however, gold price XAU/USD managed to strike off from this traditional negative direct correlation with the US dollar. So instead, gold price right now, as quoted by per dollar, which is the XAU/USD spot gold, actually rise in tandem with a firmer US dollar that was seen 3 weeks ago. So probably I do believe that there's this Trump trade narrative getting stronger and stronger as we approach this less than 3 weeks to go before November the 5th, or the US presidential election day of voting. So what we could see over here is that based on the betting odds markets pertaining to who will actually win the US presidential election, so based on Polymarket, which is one of the major betting market, we start to see rising odds of Trump winning over Harris. Today's Asia session, it rose as high as close to 60%. There may be 60% chance that the budding markets have an opinion that Trump will win. So with this continuous rising or firmer of these betting odds as being assigned by the betting markets towards Trump, do not forget that Trump policy, what he advocates over here is very generous corporate tax cuts. So he wants to bring the current corporate tax cut rate of US corporate tax cut rate, pardon me, of 21% to as low as 15%. But on the other hand, Kamala Harris wants to actually increase the corporate, we call it corporate tax rate, from 21% to 28%. So net overall, if Trump were to win, very likely his generous so-called corporate tax cuts program in the longer term to medium term perspective will actually widen the U.S. Budget deficit. So with this widening of this U.S. budget deficit over here, which could so in turn increase the total public debt as a percentage of US GDP. So that could actually kind of increase the risk of this kind of more frequent government shutdown eventually, potentially, we may start to see a bit of, we call it rumblings from the credit rating agencies on the current risk of downgrading or putting a warning sign to the credit rating of US Treasury. So that actually kind of support this firmer gold XAU USD bullish trend that was being played out last week and into today's Asia session as well.
I also note that oil has recovered some of its week-long losses. We were sort of edging towards that $70 a barrel mark in terms of Brent crude, but it's recovered some of that. What's behind that slight rise?
Yeah, so I believe that this slight rise is also related to that particular Chinese-related news flow as well about that re-lending stock buyback program. More details has been coming up from China top policymaker. But however, oil price right now, it seems to be stuck within opposite factors at play. Number one, we do not know what is the situation like in terms of how Israel wants to retaliate against Iran assets classes, because it has been more than a week has passed since Iran's retaliatory attack towards Israel. But right now, Israel has been holding back in their approach to actually take on against Iran. Because initially, there was actually plans to actually disrupt Iran's oil and production facilities, so that will actually cause a potential firmer oil prices due to a disruption of oil supply in the Middle East. Because Iran also warned that if that's happened, they will potentially strike U.S. Interest in the other oil production nations, in the other OPEC Plus members, i.e. So with that still in the limbo over here, that actually causes oil prices to actually collapse on last Friday, given the fact that there is getting lesser and lesser odds that Israel might strike Iran's oil and gas production facility.
Okay, before you go, Kelvin, can you give us a summary of what lies ahead in the next few days?
Yeah, sure, for sure. So the couple of things to take note of for this coming week, I think it's rather quiet week instead in terms of the economic calendar. So on action will come to on the later part of the week. But before that, there is this particular Canada dollar-related event, which is Bank of Canada interest rate decision. That'll be out on Wednesday. And coming this Thursday, we do see the major economy, US, Eurozone, UK, Japan, reporting their flash October services and manufacturing PMI data, something to take note of, especially on the US over here, because it's pertaining to key economic growth data that could potentially also change the expectation of future interest rate cut by the Fed. And lastly, on Friday, we do have data pertaining to Japan. We have the leading Tokyo CPI data for the month of October that will be out. And also on Sunday, which is a weekend, that will be the Japanese snap general election, something to take note of just in case market is now still looking at the current incumbent political party, LDP, to actually hold its majority in the Japanese parliament. So that if the reverse doesn't hold true over here, it could create a bit of volatility when the markets reopen on Monday, especially assets related to Japan, like the dollar yen and the Nikkei 225. So something to keep an eye watch for on Sunday, where we have this Japanese step general election.
Okay, Kelvin, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again very soon.
My pleasure.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.